This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 1205. It's great to have you with us for the Wednesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We could see a shower or two, but mostly sunny today, a high temperature in the 70s. We're going to touch 90 tomorrow, and the five-day forecast is coming up.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Let's kick things off with an update on a mixed day on Wall Street. At Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
That's right, Cisco and Chris. The Dow is really tracking higher now, up 208 points, and we're up to 26,455. We haven't seen this level for the blue chip since January. NASDAQ is lower, down 28 points, or more than a third of a percent. S&P adding 4. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index fractionally lower. NAFTA talks are picking up again, but a deal is unlikely to be reached this week. That's what sources are telling Bloomberg. That's boosting the odds that the latest deadline will be missed amid President Trump's threat to freeze out Canada. The two countries remain at odds on some core issues, including dairy and dispute panels. Housing starts rebounded last month. They were up more than 9%. The previous month's numbers were revised lower. Building permits, that gives us a look at plans for future construction, slid 5.7%. Oil prices are on the rise. Stockpiles here at home were lower for a fifth week in a row. Crude up more than 1% to $70.73. cents a barrel. That is higher by about 20% since the first of the year. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, some analysts are saying that the bull market is over or will be soon. Walmart taking on Amazon in the health sector.
Personal Finance Wednesday, why ETFs may be the best bet as you plan for retirement. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, Walmart is expanding its presence in healthcare. We're going to find out how the retail giant plans to do that in our next segment. Right now, the report on housing starts leads today's data. Let's welcome Bob Bruska, who is chief economist at Fact and Opinion Economics in New York. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Bob.
Good to be with you.
Just beyond the markets, how's the economy looking to you right now?
The economy is in some ways firing on all cylinders. So we're getting good growth. We've got a low unemployment rate. Inflation is tempered. It's like nirvana, except that we don't produce enough really high-paying jobs. But we are producing jobs. So, it's something below nirvana, but it's good.
We continue to see these housing numbers up and down, but it looks pretty good. Tell us about that.
Well, I think housing's slowing. Mortgage rates have been rising. The Fed's been raising interest rates, and people are very, very sensitive to interest rates. And I don't know if this is widely appreciated, but, because there's so much debt, housing prices are so high, they're back above, the levels that we saw back during the financial crisis when people thought housing market was so excessive. Well, we're back there and above it in many parts of the country. Of course, in some parts, housing prices still haven't recovered, but in a lot of places now, we're looking at new highs in housing prices really around the country. So with the exception of those dead pockets, housing is very, very strong, and those houses are expensive. And even with low interest rates, they're hard for people to carry because incomes haven't been going up that rapidly. So that's the problem in the housing market. High prices are the good news for housing. High prices are the bad news for housing.
Let's talk about the Chinese economy, as at least one Chinese official is saying they're kind of having trouble keeping things stable. What's the reason for this? How bad is it? Is it tariffs or are there other things going on?
Well, the Chinese economy has been slowing anyway, but China's economy is really geared for growth. And after the financial crisis, China was somewhat harmed because they weren't able to crank exports out at the pace that they were previously. And this is because in the West, economies like ours haven't been able to add on the debt, and we haven't been able to grow at the speeds that we grew before the Great Recession. And so China has been dealing in a more disciplined, a more constrained environment, and now with tariffs, conditions are getting worse. And, of course, China has a burgeoning debt problem. It used to be that when things got a little bit tough, the Chinese government would just open the spigots, they'd dole out some credit, they'd get some more growth. But now that kind of credit from the government doesn't generate the same kind of growth. And so China is in a position where it's got a debt problem and it's not generating as much growth. There's a bit of a slowdown and now there's a tariff overhang and the things are looking dicey in China.
And what would that possibly mean for the U.S. economy and U.S. companies? A lot of them obviously do a lot of business with China.
Well, business with China. I mean, China does a lot of business with the United States, right? We have a huge trade deficit. The trade flows go from China to the U.S. and not so much from the U.S. to China. And so that's really where the risk is. And, of course, there are firms operating in China, but those are the firms that are, you know, serving Chinese domestic demand or making goods and sending them back to the U.S. And these are the firms that have been, you know, the targets of Donald Trump. Some people are saying, oh, the Trump tariff policies are starting to hurt U.S. firms operating in China. Well, you know, don't you think that's the point? That's the point of these tariffs. The point of these tariffs is to make doing business in China a little bit less comfortable and not just to stay in place all the time, but to generate some changes on the part of the Chinese authorities so that trade between China and the U.S. occurs on a more even footing.
We're probably going to be asking most of our guests this morning what they think about this. The Bank of America, Merrill Lynch, predicting that the great bull market after the financial crisis 10 years ago is dead or dying. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. I thought the Merrill Lynch slogan was bullish on America. So if they're not bullish on America, who can be?
Bob Bruska, always appreciate you being with us. Bob is chief economist at Fact and Opinion Economics in New York. Good insight. Coming up, Walmart is looking to bring its everyday low prices to the healthcare sector.
Cashing in with conversation, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Walmart is looking to healthcare as a new opportunity for growth. Let's learn more from Bruce Japsen, Chicago-based healthcare writer for Forbes. Bruce, what exactly is Walmart looking to do?
Well, Walmart is like CVS and also Walgreens in the sense that we know that retail sales are impacted by Amazon. People are shopping online. And what Walmart, CVS, and Walgreens are doing increasingly is they want to fill their emptying retail space with healthcare. And so Walmart has, for about a decade or so, had a relationship with Humana to sell prescription drug plans. And there have been several reports out that Walmart may do a broader partnership with Humana to get them to cover more stuff and so forth and bring more healthcare services into their stores. And so CVS is also doing the same thing with Aetna, the insurance company, forming a closer partnership. And so if you have Aetna as your insurer, you can pretty much bet that you'll be using CVS more than, say, Walgreens. And Walgreens is, of course, doing more partnerships with other insurance companies. And they want to do more than retail clinics and pharmacy and so forth. They're talking about urgent care and all sorts of things.
So is Walmart thinking, I mean, they've been able to drive down prices in so many areas. Are they thinking they could do the same thing in healthcare?
Well, everybody would hope so. I mean, I think the problem is, you know, you see instances where, like the opioid crisis, for example. You know, insurance companies can do a lot of things by giving people that medication that helps people who are addicted to opioids. If those medications are generic and you're Walmart and you have hundreds of pharmacies or your Walgreens or CVS, you can do something about that. You can now, if you have a partnership with Humana, an insurance company, you can do a deal with them and say, hey, listen, we know you have a lot of people who are getting sick and ending up in the hospital with opioid addiction, but we as Walmart have access to pharmacies across the country and we can maybe give people medications for next to nothing. And so that is where they're hoping to make a difference.
You have studied and reported on, Bruce, the health sector for years now. When you read about this today, did you think this is good news?
Well, here's the deal. The thing of it is, you know, I celebrated my 50th birthday a couple years ago. A lot of these Wall Street analysts are captivated by everything Amazon does. And so poor Walmart, CVS, and Walgreens are having their stocks hammered because people think Amazon's going to take over the world, these young people. I got news for them. Amazon does not have any ability to do face-to-face healthcare with anybody. Walmart can do that because they have nurse practitioners and pharmacists. CVS can do that. Walgreens can do that. So I think that there's definitely some opportunities when you have hospitals that are loath to change. They better be careful because the corner drugstore and the Walmart out in suburbia and rural America, they're going to be offering more healthcare services and they're going to be offering them less expensive. So if this results in competition and lower price services, I think it's a potential to have a real opportunity here.
Wouldn't you think competition will rule here if Amazon is getting off to a slow start because it doesn't have the services that the others do?
Yeah, I would think so. I would hope so. And then if Amazon is truly serious about getting into healthcare in a big way, we don't know that. I mean, we know they have an online pharmacy, but are they going to start putting clinics in these Whole Foods? That would be something to watch because we know that Amazon can move awfully quickly. And, you know, people who have Amazon cards now can get discounts at Whole Foods. That's a good thing. We'll see. It all depends on how serious Amazon is to getting into healthcare. Ordering prescriptions online is one thing. Actually treating people and offering low-cost healthcare services for people who show up and actually want to see a nurse or a doctor, that's another story.
Bruce, thanks for joining us today. Bruce Japsen is a Chicago-based healthcare writer for Forbes, and you can hear his reports on Health Monday evenings and Saturday mornings right here on News Radio WBBM.
Still ahead, Personal Finance Wednesday, a different strategy for retirement. And Bloomberg will check the markets next.
WBBM News Time 12:25. Let's take a look at the markets with Elisa Parenti.
Well, Chris, the Dow is higher by 193 points right now, or 0.75%, and the benchmark's at 26,440. NASDAQ lower by 29 points, or 0.33%, lower for the week and on track right now for a monthly loss. The S&P is up 3 points. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg down 0.1%. Fitbit shares are rising. Humana is expanding a partnership that connects its policyholders with Fitbit's health and wellness platform. John Hancock will stop underwriting traditional life insurance and instead sell only interactive policies that give fitness tracker users discounts for logging their workouts. Now let's turn to Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
We have higher grain prices here today. Corn for December up 2 at 345 and a quarter, quarter off its high. Beans for November are up 13 at 827. They've been to 28 and a quarter. And December wheat's up 12 and a quarter, 522 and three quarters. A little turnaround here. Don't know if we've seen fall lows or not. There's lots of harvest to go. We're just getting a good start. Now, this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Pete. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are mixed. We'll see what's affecting Wall Street today.
Price of oil is on the rise. We'll talk to an expert on energy about where the market may be heading.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday. The advantages of exchange-traded funds for investors, including retirees.
Four people have been wounded during a shooting at a software company near Madison, Wisconsin.
CBS News correspondent Dave Barrett, a longtime anchor of the World News Roundup, has died at the age of 63.
On Wall Street, the Dow Industrials up 192 points, the NASDAQ down 30, and the S&P 500 up by 2.
Mix of sun and clouds, maybe some scattered rain as well today. Right now, 75 O'Hare, 78 at Midway, and 75 degrees along the lakefront. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park.
Well, the markets are hanging around the break-even mark so far today. We're joined by Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services, publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast Newsletter in Hammond. Chuck, there's been some questions raised online, at least, about how the economy continues to perform. Do you expect a pullback? What do the things that you look at, what do they tell you?
Yeah, it's interesting that there does seem to be a rush to call the recession first from a lot of people. And I guess when I start to kind of think about those issues, one of the things we turn to, quite frankly, is the Dow Jones Transportation Average, which is perhaps the most economically sensitive index there is, not just in the United States, but perhaps in the world. And it tends to be kind of that proverbial canary in the coal mine if, in fact, the economy is kind of rolling over. When you look at that, the index, that's not really what it's saying. In fact, the Dow Jones Transportation Average recently went to an all-time high and has been showing pretty good strength here, not just recently, but for the year to date in terms of performance. So, you know, we're emboldened by that. Can we see, you know, a month-to-month dip? I mean, historically, you know, kind of economic data month-to-month can show some variance, but again, the strength of the transports, as well as some of the other underlying indices, as well as the corporate profit story, I think is strong enough that I don't think we're going to see a rollover in this market or in the economy here in the short run.
We're seeing today two Illinois companies, Boeing and Caterpillar, rise on the stock market. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it's a reflection of some of the thinking that's now going on concerning the tariffs. You know, it was interesting. Yesterday, we had a very strong market in the face of kind of, a couple of salvos in the trade war. And then today, we're seeing some of those sensitive stocks that are especially sensitive to perhaps trade wars doing pretty well. And what that kind of tells me is that perhaps, you know, we are getting closer to the end of some of this trade wars and tariff wars. I mean, it's kind of counterintuitive, but, you know, if you think about it, you know, every kind of increase in the tariffs gets us closer and closer, hopefully, to an end here. And I think that's what the market is kind of was banking on yesterday and reflecting that. And I think that's why you're seeing some of the kind of the trade slash tariff stocks, sensitive tariff stocks doing pretty well, such as CAD and such as Boeing.
Maybe it's too early to tell, but have these trade wars produced something that's beneficial for American companies, or is it still too early to tell?
I think it's probably still too early to tell. I think we'll have a better read on that if, in fact, there does seem to be a detente reached and perhaps some of the tariffs are reduced. I think we'll also get a better read over the next few quarters in terms of how companies' profits are responding. You know, keep in mind, this is still a fairly recent phenomenon in terms of the tariffs. It really hasn't filtered through probably in a lot of different ways in terms of the income statement. So I think we'll have a better sense of that over the next couple of quarters.
You touched on Boeing and CAT, that they're both doing well. Is that a surprise? Would they have been expected to do well in the midst of this trade war?
Well, you know, they haven't, you know, they have had some weakness here. But I think, again, the strength today is kind of a reflection and maybe a growing feeling that perhaps we're starting to get to the end of the line here in terms of, raising tariffs and then getting, you know, then China coming back and raising their own tariffs, et cetera. You know, there was some thought that the latest retaliation of China wasn't as severe as maybe some people thought. So maybe there is a bit of softening going on there. And so I think that's feeding into helping those stocks and some other more economically sensitive stocks today.
Chuck, what are the current Dow Theory forecasts telling us?
Well, it's basically kind of all eyes right now on the Dow Jones Industrial Average. If they can close above their previous high, the January high of 26,616, and we're less than 200 points away from that, that would be kind of, you know, from a Dow Theory perspective, providing a bit of that all clear sign that you would want to see. We've had the new highs in the Dow Jones Transportation Average, and while it doesn't play into strict Dow Theory analysis, you know, we've had the new highs in the S&P 500, so the market's really kind of waiting on the Dow Industrials. Again, we're less than a couple of hundred points away. A move to new highs above that 26,616 level, again, from a Dow Theory perspective, would be kind of an all-clear sign.
What do you make of defense stocks doing so well? What does that say to people?
Well, I think spending's going up in that space. There's always the lingering kind of, powder keg areas anywhere in the world. And so I think there's a willing, you know, there you have kind of a bipartisan willingness to increase spending there. And I think that's filtering down and helping those stocks.
Chuck, thanks so much for spending a few minutes with us today. Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services, publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter in Hammond, Indiana.
Still ahead, Personal Finance Wednesday, what you need to know about ETFs and especially how they can help you save for retirement.
It's 60 Minutes of Financial Planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday on the Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Geiger Wealth. This afternoon, we're learning about exchange-traded funds, ETFs, and how they might help you save for retirement. Let's get some insight from Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com, based in Washington, D.C. Mark, whenever we talk about this, we have to at first ask for a sort of a brief thumbnail sketch for people who are unfamiliar. What is an ETF?
Fair enough. ETFs, exchange-traded funds, are funds that trade just like stocks. So instead of buying a share of IBM or Facebook or Google, you can buy a share of a fund that in effect owns shares in lots of different companies. And so it makes it a lot easier to buy and sell stocks. Used to be with traditional mutual funds, you'd have to buy only once you were allowed, in fact, only to buy once a day at 4 o'clock. And that was it. Now you can buy at any second of the day when the market is open. And that, I think, is perhaps the crucial thing to focus on when you try to imagine whether it's a good idea to even consider ETFs, is that they are, in theory, wonderful. Why not be able to buy or sell at any time? But it actually makes it so easy to get in or out of the market whenever there's some new development or something that might make you skittish, that, in fact, it encourages some self-destructive behavior that you didn't have when you were only able to trade once a day.
So when you're thinking about possibly putting ETFs in your retirement portfolio, is that one of the challenges? You got to be willing to stick with this over the long haul and not going in and out throughout the day?
That's exactly right. And in fact, there's a lot of evidence to suggest that when people transfer their assets from just traditional mutual funds to these exchange-traded funds, even when those funds contain the exact same stocks, there's really no difference in what they're investing in. The only difference is the investment vehicle that owns those particular stocks, that they actually increase the frequency of their trading. And though there's no definite guarantee that frequency of trading will lead to poorer returns, the data are overwhelming that in almost all of our hands, frequent trading is something that causes our returns to go down, not up.
And as well as a stock index, there's also the bond index. And is that heavily
used? There's no doubt that it's so amazing. In fact, right now you can buy with a single click of a mouse button, you can buy a stock, which is really exchange-traded fund, that represents every, it basically represents the entire U.S. bond market or the entire U.S. stock market. It's just, in one sense, it's just amazing. I mean, I think it's a technological marvel, and it is worth marveling at. And yet, the question is whether it encourages this self-destructive behavior. So at the same time that we can celebrate it, we have to be very careful not to misuse it.
Do we see participation grow suddenly when there's right now, when the markets are doing really well, and then 10 years ago, a bust?
Well, that's right. You do see that a lot. I'd say that where you see a lot of the flows are in individual sectors. It's interesting. There are now more exchange-traded funds out there than there are individual stocks. And so that's an amazing phenomenon in and of itself. What it means is that there are many, many ways of slicing and dicing the individual market, and people like to get narrow sectors or industries represented in their particular exchange-traded fund as a way of trying to capitalize on particular moves. And again, that could work out. But the thing that almost all research suggests is that over time, when we try to pick those individual industries or narrow sectors that will do better than the market, almost invariably over time, we end up doing less well than we would if we simply go with a broad stock market index fund. So I'd say the way to take advantage of this marvelous new instrument out there is buy an exchange-traded fund that's benchmarked to the entire market. There are a number of them out there that have very little or zero expenses. It's an amazing way to get a representation of the entire market. And then figure out some way of sitting on our hands so that we don't do anything self-destructive.
Great information, as always, and analysis. Thanks, Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for The Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com. Joining us on Personal Finance Wednesday. This time tomorrow, Technology Thursday. And still to come today, the latest on the oil market as prices are climbing yet again.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Well, you just said oil prices are heading higher today. Let's talk about why and the direction of the market with Phil Flynn, a senior market analyst at Price Group and Fox Business News contributor in Chicago. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Phil. What's going on in the oil market?
You know, we had a very bullish inventory report today. It's a weekly supply and demand number. And what we're seeing here is that U.S. oil supplies are falling, in part because U.S. oil demand is just off record highs. Even with the fact that a lot of refiners are going into maintenance, the demand for oil in the United States on a four-week moving average basis is higher than it's ever been. So we really have an extremely strong economy. That means we're going to be using a lot of oil. Now, you also have this increasing risk to supply because we're in November 5th, Donald Trump wants everybody off Iranian oil. The sanctions are going into play. So what we're going to see is a very strong demand market with a very tight supply market, and that means higher prices.
What does it mean for gasoline prices?
Well, I think here in Chicago, gas prices have been pretty calm considering, but they're going to start to edge up. Refinery maintenance here in Whiting, Indiana is going to push those prices up. So, in fact, we probably will see prices go up in the next couple of hours. So, if you're near a gas station, probably a good time to pull over and top that tank off.
And what does this mean for energy stocks? They seem to have been doing pretty well.
They really have. I mean, this was a sector that was beat up. It was gone, and it really has turned around. And it's really been led back by one of the underperforming big blue stocks, which was ExxonMobil. ExxonMobil really had underperformed the entire sector because they made some very bad decisions about the future of energy. They were very pessimistic. They underinvested in the energy sector. I think they're starting to get back into the reality now, and they've made some really smart investments, and that stock's done very well. But other stocks like Diamondback Drilling in the Permian Basin have done well. Transocean, because even deep water may come back with these higher prices. So very strong outlook for the energy stocks going forward.
Phil, thanks so much for joining us today. Cisco and I are going to run out and fill up our cars.
Yeah, right now. In fact, someone else is going to have to take over here.
Phil is the senior market analyst at Price Group, Fox Business News contributor in Chicago.
Bloomberg will check the markets next. WBBM News Time, 12:55, a check of the markets from Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, we are mixed with the Dow up 201 points, NASDAQ lower by 18, S&P up 4. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is down 0.1%. Wall Street is finding all kinds of silver linings in trade disputes. With China, it's that the newest penalties are less severe than threatened by both sides. And with Canada, it's the fact that the NAFTA negotiations are happening. Canada's lead negotiator says they were working through the night. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.